Under the Radar, bringing movies and people together, one frame at a time.
Hey guys, I'm Randy Unger, and this is another episode of Under the Radar, bringing movies and people together, one frame at a time. And with me again is the esteemed critic and colleague and friend of mine, Miss Ivy Lofberg. Welcome back, Ivy.
It's so wonderful to be here. Thank you so much, Randy.
Anytime, anytime. And we've had a good roll like this month. We've been on pretty consistently, which
is great.
And you know, I always
It's been great.
Yeah, I always value your input, and you're a good friend, and you're a great friend to the show. So I want to thank you from the bottom of my heart.
Oh, well, it's always a great thrill to be here. Thank you so much.
So tonight, so this is the 35th anniversary of one of my absolute favorite comedies. It's called A Fish Called Wanda. And if those who are listening or watching have never seen it, please do so right after you watch this show, because it's just a wonderful, you know, zany comedy filled with hijinks. It's got, you know, crime, sex, adventure, great comedy, you know, really great comedic stylings from its cast, which is led by John Cleese. Jamie Lee Curtis plays a femme fatale in this story. And we also have an Oscar-winning performance from Mr. Kevin Kline. The film is about a diamond robbery that pretty much goes wrong, and all of those involved with the robbery double-crossing each other. John Cleese's character, he plays an attorney, a barrister. By the way, it takes place in England. Jamie Lee Curtis is part of the gang of criminals who wants to recover the jewels. She is in cahoots with Kevin Kline's character, Otto, who is hilarious. Basically, everything that can go wrong does go wrong in this movie, in this story, rather. And it is just so much fun. I saw this way back when I was a teenager, loved it then, rewatched it the other night. I love it even more now. Ivy, first impressions or rewatching A Fish Called Wanda? What was it like for you revisiting it?
Yeah, same, Randy, same. I watched it again last night and really appreciated it even more. I saw this movie first when I was a kid, and it was my brother's favorite movie. So I feel like my childhood is filled with so many Kevin Kline Otto quotes from that movie. Like he would say, "Don't call me stupid" all the time. And so it really became part of our family, you know, that character in such a great way. And rewatching it, it was really wonderful to kind of see now how unusual A Fish Called Wanda is as well, because so many of those heist movies really have such a pace to them, and they have a really particular style that's kind of set to move really slick and really fast. And I think of like Oceans, the Oceans 11 movies, and, you know, typical heist movies are pretty slick and fast moving, and Fish Called Wanda really takes its time. It actually feels a lot more like a comedy or like a comedy drama in the way that it's paced, I find. It has like a great score, but the score is not really like a heist score. It's more of like, it's a lot more relaxed and even romantic. And there's so much going on in the movie, but it never feels rushed. And it really is moving at a pace where it feels like it doesn't want you to think it's a heist movie. And that's what I like about it. It really leans more into exploring the comedy of the situation and these relationships a lot more than let's like move the story along as fast as possible. Like there is so much time spent on all in each scene, like exploring the humor of the scenario, which I think is very unusual for a heist movie.
I love the character interactions. They're so funny. Each performance just lends itself so well to one another. And I just want to mention, you know, we've got John Cleese and Michael Palin, who are Monty Python alum. So it's great to see them kind of branching off into a different type of movie, something that's not Monty Python, but sort of in that vein. And yeah, just each one of these, even Jamie Lee Curtis, they're all so on point, comedically, brilliant performances. And you know, every time they basically meet one another, it's just a hilarious interaction. Especially, I'm thinking specifically when Kevin Kline and Michael Palin meet with the chips up the nose, where he's trying to find information from him, where the diamonds are, and it's just such a hilarious movie. I also wanted to mention that this was actually the very first DVD that I ever bought, back in like 1999. This was my very first DVD. So I don't know what that says about me, but as a film collector, yeah, sure. This was my first DVD and I'm proud of it.
I love that. I
Yeah.
love that. Great taste in movies. Like that's
Thanks.
such a great memory that
Thanks.
that was your very first DVD.
Yeah, for sure. I'll never forget it. A 15-year-old Randy watching A Fish Called Wanda on DVD. And it was on my computer too. I didn't have a DVD player yet. It was on my through my computer. So good memories, good memories. So we
I love
also, yeah, we have Kevin Kline, who is so great in this role that won him an Academy Award. Ivy, what did you think of Otto and Kevin Kline's portrayal of this very bizarre character?
It is one of those characters I feel like only Kevin Kline can play. I can't imagine anyone else really pulling it off the way he does. He's really gifted at, I feel like, playing the really obnoxious American in England. He couldn't be more different than the other characters in the movie, and I feel like he really leans in with a lot of humor to being the really obnoxious American who's over the top with everything and does everything over the top, almost like a cartoon character in some scenes. And when he like sniffs the boot and like sniffs his armpit to like get ready for sex, just
Right.
those like very over the top, but he does it so gracefully and so effortlessly. It has just a real smoothness to it too. It never feels like he's trying to make people laugh. It more feels like he's just enjoying making this character as ridiculous as possible in a way that is still really grounded, which I think is really why he won the Academy Award. I can't imagine a more difficult thing to do, because comedy is, the hardest, to make a character so crazy and outlandish, but he never feels like he's in a different movie is pretty spectacular.
Feels like almost like the Wile E. Coyote chasing after the diamonds here.
Yes,
and
exactly.
I agree. Yeah, like I can't imagine any other actor portraying this character. It's really brilliant. And yeah, he is grounded, but at the same time, he's totally out there, totally wacky. And that like conflict in his personality is so present and prevalent in this movie. And that is definitely why, yeah, Ivy, why he won the Oscar. Just so good. Such a great performance. They're all great. I think John Cleese too kind of plays like the straight man here. And you know, he's totally infatuated with Jamie Lee Curtis's Wanda. And you know, you kind of feel for him. You know, he's in a loveless marriage. His daughter pretty much can't stand him. You know, he's just a working guy, and he meets this beautiful woman who basically represents excitement and adventure. And it's really his story in a way. It's his journey to find happiness and love. And Jamie Lee Curtis is basically just, you know, getting involved with all these guys, and you don't know what's going to happen next, which is, I think, part of the movie's charm. It's like it's basically almost like a mystery too, like what's going to happen. And you're along for the ride. So it's a really quality film, really quality film.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more about John Cleese. I think that's one of my favorite parts of the movie as well, is it really becomes a movie where you really are happy that this happened to him. Like he saw this opportunity for, you know, a life of excitement and a life of passion and an interesting life for himself, and he really embraces it. And I think that's such a clever way of having these really over the top characters like Otto, and then kind of the most grounded, kind of dull guy ends up being the one who is the hero of the movie. I absolutely too was rooting for him, and it was so happy that he just saw his opportunity for a just a more exciting life for himself. And it, you're so right that John Cleese could have easily been a Kevin Kline character in that, and he really played it very straight and very measured. And I think that it to see what he can do is like just a more straight man actor, I think is a reason to see that too. I think if people just think he just does a lot of, I love Monty Python, but if people kind of feel like that's the extent of his range and he can't play a pretty serious, grounded character, that it's a reason to see it too. And do you think they end up together? Do you think they fly off and oh, well, they say at the end they have all these kids and
I think so. I think they pretty much fell in love throughout the course of the movie. And again, great chemistry between the two. I'd love to see the two of these characters extend into another film, which is a point that I actually wanted to make just now. So basically, in 1997, there was a movie released called Fierce Creatures, which basically reunited the cast of A Fish Called Wanda. And they call it a spiritual sequel, which is like kind of like similar tone, same cast members, but a totally different story. But it kind of feels like it fits right into the A Fish Called Wanda universe. And Fierce Creatures, not a great movie by any stretch of the imagination. It's a weird one. It takes place at a zoo in England, and I'm a little fuzzy on the plot, but it's basically like another like crime hijinks kind of wackiness going on. But yeah, I remember seeing it when I was a kid. Obviously, it didn't resonate with me, but I figured I'd mention it anyway because it does have John Cleese, Jamie Lee Curtis, Kevin Kline, and Michael Palin. I guess it's worth checking out, but it's nowhere near as good as A Fish Called Wanda. But I respect what they were trying to do. It's not a flat-out sequel, but it definitely shares many of the characteristics of the original. So that's called Fierce Creatures from 1997. Check it out if you feel so inclined. But yeah, A Fish Called Wanda, it's an absolute classic comedy gem. I think it's in my top 10 all-time favorite comedies. How about you, Ivy?
It really is for me too. I feel like every time I see it, I see something new, and I really love how many like little set pieces it has in it as well that I feel like could be a Monty Python sketch, like when he like goes and he's an animal lover, but he keeps accidentally killing the dogs. And I'm an animal lover too, so it's not the it's just like the setup of an animal lover who has to like off this woman, but he keeps killing her dogs by mistake, and it's breaking him as a person. It's just really it's just funny, and I really appreciate movies like that where they're it's just funny. It's not something that is trying to make you work too hard, or is trying to say too much. It's just that premise alone. It's like, okay, that's enough. That's really, really hysterical. That poor
Yeah,
guy.
it's definitely got some black comedy, some really dark stuff going on, especially with Michael Palin's character, and yeah, killing the dogs, eventually the old lady. But yeah, it's crazy. But the way that they handle it is so great. You know, it's death, it's, you know, attempted murder, but it's done in a very light and, you know, lighthearted way, which is great. Yeah, the movie doesn't take itself too seriously. It's ridiculous, but at the same time, it has a lot of heart. John Cleese and Jamie Lee Curtis romance in the movie is really great. Love to see that. But I wanted to shift a little bit regarding, just talk a little bit about Kevin Kline, who's so good in this. I am a huge Kevin Kline fan. He's done a ton of fantastic films. There is one film that really comes to mind right off the bat, Dave from 1993, celebrating its 30th anniversary this year. And basically, Kevin Kline plays a guy who is, he looks identical to the current president. Now, the current president, he basically dies making love to a woman. And they, in order to avoid negative publicity, they enlist this lookalike played by Kevin Kline to be the current president. And he has no idea what he's doing. And he falls in love with the first lady. And it's just a very silly comedy, kind of in the same vein as A Fish Called Wanda. And also directed by one of the greats, the late great Ivan Reitman of Ghostbusters fame. So yeah, Dave comes to mind. Whenever I think of Kevin Kline, I think of Dave automatically, because it really showcases his range comedically. And there's a bunch of other films too I want to get into. But Ivy, how about you? Are you a Kevin Kline enthusiast?
I absolutely am. And yeah, I totally agree that Dave is such a gem. It's a wonderful movie. And I'm a huge Kevin Kline fan. I was re-watching Grand Canyon last night.
Okay.
Which is, it really made me start thinking that Kevin Kline, I feel like, represents this really interesting time in film that I feel like now they're things that you would see on television, on cable television. And it's like these were movies that we had before we had the golden age of television.
Right.
Like the Grand Canyon, when I watch it, I'm like, oh yeah, this is something now I feel like I'd see on like Apple TV or HBO. And I feel like I'm really excited that we're talking about Kevin Kline too, because I feel like I went back and so many of his movies won major awards. Yeah. These are incredible award-winning films that I feel like, because I think we're so used to seeing a certain kind of drama now on television, I feel like it's easy to forget that they used to be more in the movies than they are now. And so watching it, there was something really comforting about it. Like I remember actually like going to the movies and watching like an hour and a half, like nice, like thoughtful drama. And it feeling very like warm and cozy, and you know, this very thoughtful, expansive storytelling that, you know, nothing really cataclysmic happens in these movies, but they're like the acting in it is extraordinary. And I find like Kevin Kline is such an incredible actor where you can see how good he was on the stage, because he really is able to act in a way where he's always present in the scene, he's always doing something, and he's always entertaining. Like he never forgets that every scene also has to be entertaining, and he really draws the audience in with what he's doing, and he knows how to be so broad and over the top and still never like lose the audience. And you know, I feel like he's a great example, I feel like, of really award-winning stage actors coming into film and kind of bringing in the qualities of that make them very special to watch on film. Like, I like they understand it on a level that just actors who are only ever in film, I don't feel like they quite get, like how to hold both at the same time and be kind of very grounded and very outrageous at the same time, or just, you know, or be just very dramatic and serious and still be very entertaining to watch. So I feel like Kevin Klein is really so masterful at that.
Yeah, he's definitely brilliant at dramedy, which is life. Real life is, it's funny, it's heartbreaking, and it's everything in between. And Kevin Klein, in most of his performances, he definitely he toes that line. You know, he's very, like you said, he's present. He can be a little intense. He could be really hilarious, and he's, a lot of his movies are just really examples of just fine filmmaking, like Grand Canyon, The Big Chill, of course, even In and Out, one of the great comedies of the 90s, I'd say. I think he should have been, I don't know if he was nominated for that, but if he wasn't, he should have been. And fantastic performance there. I also have a guilty pleasure of mine. And I think this film, one of the few good things about this movie was Kevin Klein's performance. Wild Wild West. it was great. I thought he was the perfect straight man to Will Smith. And I really wanted to see more of him. I thought they had good chemistry in this really disaster of a film. But I definitely remember his performance and it being among the best of that time period. Yeah, Grand Canyon, though, I haven't seen, but from your glowing recommendation, I think I'm going to check it out. So that's good.
Yeah, I love the Wild Wild West reference. He's excellent in that. And what I also really like that movie, because I just love a movie that is not afraid to be outrageous and just have a big crazy vision. And I'd much rather watch with you know, incredible actors. So I personally, if I were like on a plane and you know, I wanted to entertain myself, I'd much rather see something like that. That's just a big fun mess. It's people who are really trying to do something interesting and swing for the fences and trying to make something really outrageous, you know, than a movie that kind of is trying to play everything's really safe. So I it's a guilty pleasure for me too. And I think Kevin Klein is incredible. And I think that's what makes him a really interesting actor too, that he would want to do something like that, that is such a wild performance. He has like this energy that he really can be the jester and the fool, but he also has leading man energy. So yeah, both of those things combined, I feel like make him just a really solid actor. I feel like I've never seen him be dull or boring, even in the terrible movies. He's always bringing his A game.
Yeah, I love that statement. He could be the jester, and he could also be, yeah, a leading man, or he could be the jester or the king. So yeah, that's proof that the man has range. Any actor that can do both is fantastic. They reminded me of an example of another actor, Jack Nicholson. Jack Nicholson is probably one of the few actors who could play both Felix and Oscar.
100%.
So I think Kevin Klein kind of falls within that spectrum.
Yeah, I completely agree. And I really love too when he does like Shakespeare, and I forget when he does Shakespeare that he isn't English, you know, that he's from the Midwest as well. He just, his command of that is just exceptional. And you know, not to say you have to be English to be able to do Shakespeare well, but just in terms of his mastery of the craft, I feel like I love that I can feel that he's having fun with it. And I think that's a really powerful thing that Kevin Klein does too. Like, he can be incredibly great and professional and at the top of his game, but it never seems like he's like laboring through it. It seems like he's brings such a lightness and fun to, and like he really wants to be there and he really wants to be giving us his best performance. And I really appreciate that about him a lot.
Yeah, just every movie, every performance, just so effortless. And I really respect that about the man. Another fun, he actually did some voice work, most notably The Hunchback of Notre Dame in 1996, and a hilarious turn in The Road to El Dorado in 2000. So yeah, definitely a very distinct voice, very, a lot of gravitas, you know, very, very notable. So, all right. Yeah, I'd say for me, Dave, check out Dave. If people have not seen it, it's fantastic. Also, of course, Sophie's Choice. You can't forget that. Very heavy stuff there. I won't get into that. But Klein shines in that as well. Ivy, any final thoughts regarding Mr. Klein?
Yeah, I'd also really recommend The Ice Storm. I feel like it also is in that same category of like these are great fall movies. I feel like they make you want to just like get in a cozy sweater and make some hot cocoa and just like get into something on a very heady and dramatic and thoughtful, and you just kind of lose yourself in the character stories. And in The Ice Storm, he's incredible in that. And really all the, I think if like the fall is a perfect time to do a Kevin Klein retrospect, because all those movies feel very like warm and cozy movies that like on a cold, blustery day, you want to just kind of cozy into something, but don't want to like get into a whole series. And I think that's what I really like about Kevin Klein's movies and movies from that time, because I'm not always in the mood to get into a whole series for a drama, but these movies really have that same kind of feel of it, but they have like the satisfaction of just being done, you know, in an hour and a half, 2 hours.
Nice. Yeah, I totally agree. What, I don't know what it is about Klein, but he does make me warm and cozy. That's a good observation, Ivy. also a couple of notable mentions here. Silverado, French Kiss, and Cry Freedom. So some really good titles there. I might even watch Grand Canyon tonight or this week, but that's fantastic. Okay then. So I just wanted to mention real quick, just wanted to talk about this new horror film called Hayride to Hell. And it stars Kane Hodder of Jason Voorhees fame and Bill Moseley. And it's a new horror film. It's now out in theaters. So feel free to go check that out. Hayride to Hell. And we just have a couple minutes left for more plugs. Ivy, anything you want to plug this week?
Oh, I would say going back and just enjoying the old funny classic Halloween movies have been fun. Like just going back and seeing like a Beetlejuice and a Hocus Pocus, and I don't really like the corny and our traditional family Halloween movies quite a bit. I feel like I watch so much horror during the year that I almost feel like watching them in Halloween is almost too much for me. I actually like to lighten it up a little bit and watch the more kid-friendly, silly Tim Burton Halloween movie. So definitely, I'm really happy too to see A Nightmare Before Christmas seems to be more popular than ever. I feel like every Duane Reade and Target just is packed with gear, and that is really exciting. I think Wednesday really introduced Tim Burton to a younger audience, and I'm just really happy to see that A Nightmare Before Christmas is just doing better than ever. It feels like it's really just become a part of Halloween now, and so that's very exciting that a movie like that doesn't kind of get lost in all of the hundreds and hundreds of movies that come out. It's truly a classic. So a big Tim Burton plug.
Well, you know, yeah, Nightmare Before Christmas is a classic. It is fantastic. But I definitely, you know, I love Tim Burton. I love his other films more. I think Nightmare's a little overrated. I would like to see more Beetlejuice stuff. I am happy that they have a musical. That's great. I saw it. It was really funny, really cool. But I want to see some more stuff, maybe like, you know, Edward Scissorhands or Sleepy Hollow. You know, stuff of that nature. Yeah, I love Burton, so it'd be great to see those films represented more. But that might be another episode right there. So yeah, you also touched on it, Ivy. So Halloween is next week. Do you have any special plans?
Yeah, we might explore Providence, Rhode Island. We've never been there before. We were just there about a week ago and really fell in love with it. And they do a huge amount with Halloween. And we usually spend Halloween in New York City, which is super fun. And if we end up doing that, of course, it's going to be great. But we're really kind of interested in like a small kind of historical town in New England, seeing what Halloween is like there. So we're excited to maybe check that out. How about you?
So this weekend actually is going to be, it's a charity event / Halloween party called Scares for Cares. It's in Lynbrook, Long Island. I'll be there Saturday night with my Ghostbuster brethren. We're going to have the Ecto-1 car present for photo ops and fun stuff. If you want to know more, feel free to send me a message. I could send you all the information. But basically, it's a charity event that benefits a very special cause. Yeah, my friend has been involved with it for the past couple of years very closely. And I always show up because he's a good buddy of mine. It's a lot of fun, a lot of cool costumes. And yeah, again, Scares for Cares. Send me a message for more information. You could just find the flyer on my Instagram. So all that fun stuff. Also be doing a special event with the Ghostbusters on Sunday. And yeah, that should be about it in terms of Halloween stuff. Do you have a costume picked out, Ivy?
Gosh, not yet. I always mess up and just decide the night of. I usually go for it's Professor Kitty. It's just I put cat makeup on and glasses and some ears. So I think like each year I'm finding I'm building on it a little bit more. Okay. Like she gets a little bit more sophisticated, I think, each year. So we'll see what happens this year. But I'm excited to hear you're going to get to be a Ghostbuster for Halloween. That's you're the man.
Not it's thank you, but it's not just Halloween. It's every day of my life. No,
that's awesome.
I do it as often as I can, but New York Comic Con was amazing. Had fun there. However, the proton pack, it's heavy. So when you're walking around, it's really a marathon. You know, you're lugging this thing. But I wouldn't trade it for anything else in the world. It's a great feeling.
You're doing the good work, the important work.
Thank you, Ivy. Appreciate it. And for those listening and watching, if you want to actually see episodes of Under the Radar, the video will be on Manhattan Neighborhood Network, and it's every Monday at 11 a.m. Eastern, 8 a.m. Pacific. Also, feel free to subscribe to the Under the Radar YouTube channel. And as always, you can listen to Under the Radar on Slam Radio through Sirius XM channel 145 every Thursday at 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific. Ivy, I want to thank you. You're one of my favorite guests, critics, and you're always welcome to be on the show. So thank you for that.
Thanks, Randy. I love being here. You're such a great host, and it's always such a wonderful experience. I really appreciate it.
Thank you so much. Thank you. And all those listening and watching, thank you for tuning in. I'm Randy Unger. This has been Unger the Radar, bringing movies and people together one frame at a time. We'll see you next time. Take care, guys.